Musicians in the house, when you combine two different songs, is it called a mashup? Or a mash something? Is that right? So what is it called when you combine two different movies? Is there a word for it? Because if not, we want to think of it and then copyright it. I want to do that this morning. Okay? Mashup, bashup, cashup. I guess it sounds like ketchup. All right, well, I'm going to combine two different movies, all right? Back in 1989, the year of our Lord, 34 years ago, a movie came out called Look Who's Talking. Anybody remember it? Whoo, some of you do. Some of you remember what it was about. I don't, okay? I just remember the title, Look Who's Talking. I don't think my parents let me watch it. Yeah, I was still living in their house at that time. So if you remember what it was about, just go ahead and forget what it was about. Just think of the title, Look Who's Talking, all right? Now, less far back in the distant past, but maybe farther than I like to admit, is the Batman movie, The Dark Knight. Okay, remember that scene in there where Alfred's the name of the butler, right? Okay, where all chaos is breaking loose like it always does in the Batman movies, and Batman and Alfred, Alfred takes him to some sort of man cave or something, and he shows him this big old screen full of screens where you can listen in to all the conversations that are taking place. Remember that scene? It looks something like that. Right? Something like that. You could eavesdrop in on different cell phone conversations, or even just as people were talking. I don't know how he did it or why or even when or what, but wow. Right? Wow. I want to combine the idea of that, being able to hear all these different voices, with the movie title, Look Who's Talking. Because we live in a world where there are all sorts of voices that are vying for our attention, right? We live in a world where, whether it's social media, TV, phones, pastors, coaches, parents, siblings, where they're all trying to speak and they all want you to listen. So the question comes is, what do we do? And the answer is, we look who's talking. All right, we're going to participate this morning a little bit. I'm going to make it extremely obvious. And when I say something like, so what do we do? You guys respond with, look who's talking. All right, and if you forget what that response is, it should be on the top of your little bulletin insert, although we can't call it an insert because there's not a bulletin to insert it into. So if you didn't get one of these, go ahead and raise your hand. Jason will bring one around. Thank you, Jason. I kind of put you on the spot there. If you don't want to raise your hand, that's okay. So if I'm talking about random different things and then I'm like, so then what do we need to do? You guys respond. All right, I think we've got it. Now, believe it or not, minus the technology side of it, the early church had the same problems we do in terms of all sorts of voices that coming at them from all sorts of different angles, and they had to sort through who was talking and who to listen to. For Acts Out to happen, which is the series that we're in right now, for the church to grow, it's doubly important for us to look who's talking. Let me pray, and let's see where we go. Lord God, we've already spent time listening, and we want to continue to listen to the voice you have to tell in this story today. Give us ears to hear, hearts to listen, and eyes ready to see. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you got a Bible, or an iPad, a phone, or you want to use the Bible under the seat in front of you, go ahead and get it out and turn to Acts chapter 9. We're in maybe about halfway, a little bit before halfway through, a sermon series called Acts Out, where we are looking at the book of Acts and how the church grew outward. Now, the main verse, the key verse of this entire series is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Read it with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Is there more to it? Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We have seen a lot already in Acts chapter 1 through 8. We've seen the church grow from 12 to 120 to 3,000 to 5,000 and beyond. We've seen lives change, unexpected relationships happen, and not everybody is happy about that, right? Sometimes the religious leadership, they kind of get bent out of shape, and it sometimes get violent. A couple weeks back, we got to see the story of Stephen get stoned to death. And if you remember, there was a gentleman there who was the official witness. Anybody remember his name? Saul, right, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Now, if you think back, then persecution happened, a great wave of it, and it says that the believers were spread all over the place, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, a little bit like Acts 1:8 talked about. Last week, you got to hear Pastor Trevor talk about Philip, Philip in Samaria, and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which brings us to today, where I want to say our main point is that we need to figure out who's talking. We need to look who's talking. And what we're going to do is we got just little fill in the blanks here, and I think these are things that will help us in the process of looking at who's talking. Make sense? All right, and if you don't want to do it, that's fine, but anybody who doesn't is welcome to stick around and eat the potluck after church. Anybody who doesn't, you're welcome to stick around after church anyways. All right, Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul, we've heard his name before. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any of the followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. All right, point number one. First fill in the blank. Sometimes even the voices coming from the church are the wrong voices to listen to. Ooh. Sometimes even the voices coming from the church are the wrong voices to listen to. I know that's not something you would expect a pastor to say from the front on a sermon, but we all recognize it, don't we? In the world that we live in, sometimes the most vitriol people, the most angry people, they're the ones coming from inside the church. The church is infighting within itself. The denominations are fighting against each other. There's arguments here, there's arguments there. The people inside the church are mean to the other people inside the church. The church people inside the church are mean to the people outside the church. Sometimes the voices coming from the church are the wrong voices to listen to. Whew. I mean, you look at our story. Saul was as good of a church person as you could possibly find. Listen to how Saul described himself in a letter that he wrote later on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Saul, or in this case Paul, which is the same guy, says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. He said, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul was as good of a person, as good of a church person as you could possibly find. Never missed a Sunday school class, always knew the correct answer. He was an usher, he was a greeter, all of it. And yet you look at the beginning of our text, and it says this. This is a church person. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. And he was eager to kill the Lord's followers, so he went to the high priest. Those two sentences should never be in the same sentence, should they? So he was angry with the Lord's followers, so he went to visit the high priest. So they didn't like what the Christians were doing, so they went to talk to the pastor. I mean, this is not the case. We realize there's a difference here. But sometimes the voices in the church are not the ones you want to be listening to. Saul was trying to keep Jesus' church from axing out. So what did he do? He went to the leader of the church and said, hey, give me some letters, because I'm going to go to a church far away, and I'm going to bring back people who are not following the way we think we should follow. And that was Paul's voice. So, what are we supposed to do? Two people remembered. That's awesome. You pulled a fast one on us, James. If even the church people are not people that we're supposed to listen to, I'm going to clarify that. What are we supposed to do? Look who's talking. I'm not saying that every church person we shouldn't listen to. I'm not saying that every pastor or parishioner are people that we don't want to pay attention to. There are good, godly people speaking, lending their voices to all the voices that we are hearing today. But not always. Okay, so point number one. Sometimes even the voices from the church are the wrong voices to listen to. That's a tough way to start a fill-in-the-blank sermon. Wow. Let's keep going. We're going to go to verse number 3. As Saul went, he was approaching Damascus on this mission. A light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. What was that light? Don't answer it. You're jumping ahead in the story. Okay? But if you're just reading this for the first time, you're like, well, what in the world was that light? A flashing light from heaven. So if you know geography, or even if you don't, I'll explain it to you. The road from Jerusalem to Damascus went over Mount Hermon. And then when you're at the top of Mount Hermon, you could look down and see Damascus. So Damascus was the city in a valley, and Mount Hermon's up here. Now, one commentator said that in that very region, there was one specific phenomenon that happened a lot. When the hot air of the plain, of the valley, met the cold air of the mountain range, violent electrical storms resulted. Huh. So was Saul stuck in a violent lightning storm? Don't answer. I know you know the story. We need to listen to the voices. We keep going. Well, actually, maybe we don't keep going. Saul's on his way to Damascus. One other little interesting note. It was quite a walk from Damascus to Jerusalem. 130 miles as the crow flies, and since we know that crows are too small for Saul to ride on, it was closer to 140, 150-mile walk for him. How long is it going to take you to walk? Anybody? A long time. Why would we do that? That's stupid. Some commentators say if Paul was walking fast, he could do it in a week. Others say that if he had companions with him and he was actually doing it at a leisurely pace, it would take 2 weeks. I have always read this story thinking this all took place within like a 5-day stretch. But if you look, and let's say he was taking it, well, I don't know if he'd take his time because he's angry, right? He's got some venom spewing from his voice. But let's say it took a week and a half, 10 days, 2 weeks to walk there. And then he ends up spending some time, which we'll get there, in Damascus. And then he ends up having to walk back Damascus to Jerusalem. And he goes from Jerusalem to Caesarea to Tarsus. We're not talking about 5 days. We're talking about at least 5 weeks. At least 5 weeks, which leads us to our next fill in the blank. Listening and discerning which voices to listen to can take a while. Listening and discerning to which voices to listen to can take a while. I mean, yeah, Paul thought he was listening to the right voice, but there was some listening and discerning that had to take place. And I'm not saying 5 weeks is a magic number, but when there are all sorts of voices, here it comes, what are we supposed to do? I wish Pastor James wouldn't have us involved in the sermon. Still in chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. As Paul, or Saul, was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And a voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul was blinded by the light. I think there's a song that's titled that, right? He hears a voice. The text tells us it's a voice of Jesus. And I know that I just told you sometimes listening to figure out which voice is the right one can take a while. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, in fact, this is blank number 3, when listening to God's voice, if you know it's God's voice, we're going to know what to do next. Sometimes it happens immediately, and we're going to know what to do next. You see that in the text. Saul hears God's voice, hears Jesus' voice, And Jesus tells him what to do. Get up, go on, and then I'll tell you what to do next. So, if a light knocks you off your donkey, and you're blinded and have to be led somewhere for 3 days, and you are absolutely convinced that it's the voice of Jesus that tells you what to do, then absolutely follow it. Because sometimes that's the case. Other times, it takes a while. Anybody ever had that experience? Blinding light, blinded? We got one. Very good. We're going to keep going. He fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, this is verse 4, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked him up, picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. I love this, because Saul set out to knock down, drag, and lead other people back to Jerusalem, and what happens? He gets knocked down and has to be led to where he's going. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Here's the thing. Paul then hears silence for 3 days. Silence. You get knocked off your donkey, you're blinded, and you're told, go, and I'm going to tell you what else to do. You get there, and after day one, you're like, God, you going to tell me? You know, you get to day two, and you start getting antsy, and day three, you start rubbing your eyes, and anything? In those 3 days, we know that Saul was probably talking to God, probably praying, but he just wasn't hearing anything back. But there was another gentleman who was hearing from God, and his name is Ananias, which we see in verse 10 through 19. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. And the Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming to him and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." "But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. Go, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake.'" A lot of voices in there, right? When you see all these voices, what are you supposed to do? Look. Well, we're getting better a little bit. All right, look who's talking. Ananias was a believer. Text tells us that. Must have been good at listening to God's voice, because when God said, "Hey, Ananias," he says, "Yes, Lord." I mean, other people in the Bible, they're like looking around, they're falling, they're running. He just says, "Yes, Lord." And the Lord says, "Hey, go here to a very specific place, because there's a guy named Saul from Tarsus who I want you to lay hands on." And I like that, because Ananias is comfortable enough. He must have been doing it enough, comfortable enough hearing God's voice, that he pushes back just a little bit. He's like, "Hold on a minute, Lord." I was watching the TBN, the Trinity Broadcast Network, the other day, and they were telling me all the places that Saul was going to, like, round up people of the way. "You sure you want me to do this?" God's like, "Go." And he's like, wait. "I was watching CNN, and they were telling me all the different ways that Saul tortures the people that follow Jesus. You sure you want me to do this?" "Go." "Hold on just a second. I was watching," pick your news of choice. I don't want to, like, pigeonhole it. "Fox. Woo! I was watching Fox News, and he told us that if you run into Paul, this is what's going to happen. Lord, I've been hearing all these different voices, and yet you're just telling me to go." And so God says to Ananias, "Hey, go." In the English, the word go is an action word, which means it's a verb. In the Greek, the word go is an action word, which means it's a verb. It literally means to move yourself from one destination to another. Go! And that command was enough after the initial pushback to get Ananias moving. Verse 17 begins, "So Ananias went and he found Saul." Now, as we keep going, we come to our next fill in the blank. We want to listen to God's voice. And we know it's God's voice. We know it's Jesus' voice. When the Lord speaks, relationships change. When the Lord speaks, relationships change. So we get Ananias going. He goes and he finds Saul. He lays hands on him and says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up, was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. You know, 87,000 different sermons could come from that passage. You've probably heard 86,999 of them. Well, today you get the next one. When Ananias meets Saul, does he say the same thing he said to God? "Hi, Mr. Saul, you're a bad dude. I don't like you." No, what did he say? What did he call him? Brother. Brother Saul. When the Lord speaks, relationships change. Remember that little fellow? Bright yellow shirt. Foreign. I asked permission from him and his parents if I could share this story. All right? Last year, he was friends with this other little fellow, and they had a falling out. Little fellows have falling outs every now and again, don't they? Yeah, well, at the beginning of this year, Thorne came to his parents and was talking to them about his nemesis. I don't even use that word. That's fantastic. He's talking about his nemesis. Well, God must have been speaking to Thorne's heart. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know how he heard or what. He didn't, like, fall off his donkey and have a blinding light or anything. But at one point, Thorne just made up his mind, and he walked up to this kid, his nemesis, and said, "Hey, can I have a second chance at being your friend?" Wow. And now they're buddies who share Rubik's Cube hacks. I mean, if it doesn't get any better than that, wow. Christy, and I quote, "Such an amazing story of hearing the Spirit and being brave enough to listen." When the Lord speaks, relationships change. We need to make sure it's the Lord's voice we're listening to. So what do we need to do? Look who's talking. Right, let's go to the second half of verse 19, and we get to see what happens to the voice of the person who was spewing venom and death threats against believers. It says, "Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues. Immediately he was saying, 'Indeed, he is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed. 'Isn't this the same guy who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? And didn't he come here to arrest and take them in chains to the leading priests?'" I mean, there's all sorts of voices going on. "You see what's happening? Do you? Did you get the text? Did you get the email? Oh my goodness, all this is really taking place." So we keep going. Verse 22, "Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So after a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him." Makes sense. You don't like somebody? Does not make sense. Does not make sense. For those listening online and listening in person, that does not make sense. But that's what they did. All right? They didn't like what he was saying, so they plotted to kill him. "They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told," there's voices again, "Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall." Man, what a completely different trip to Damascus than he had expected, right? He went fishing for followers of the way that he could drag back to Jerusalem, and here he gets lowered out of a window on a wall and has to sneak back home. Over and over and over, we're seeing the necessity and the importance of looking to see who's talking. We get to verse 26, and it says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. All the believers, they had heard the rumors. People had told him, what's happening? This is what's happening. Saul, who went to this and that is now, he's for Jesus. But they did not listen to those voices, which leads to our final fill in the blank. When listening to the Lord's voice, relationships matter. When listening to the Lord's voice, relationships matter. Because we see this take place. Verse 27, then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them, he spoke, how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. And he told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. The believers didn't listen to all the other voices they were hearing, but they listened to their friend Barnabas. And when we're listening to the Lord's voice, relationships matter. Was Barnabas somebody a little farther away walking on the trail and saw this bright light episode? Is that how he knew like something had happened to Saul? The answer to that is we don't know, right? Had Barnabas been in Damascus and listened to Jesus preach boldly? The answer to that is we don't know, right? Had Barney been one of the people lowering Saul down the wall so that he could get free? The answer to that is we don't know. Was Barnabas simply listening to God's voice and hearing this nudging saying, hey, Saul's on my team, so go and share with him? We don't know, right? We don't. But for whatever reason, Barnabas decided to stand up for, to go to bat for Saul, and the people that he was in deep relationship to welcomed him. Barnabas' relationship with the other believers mattered so much that they welcomed Saul immediately into their Jesus club. It says, so Saul, verse 28, so Saul stayed with the apostles and went around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Now, if Merle was reading out of his Message Translation Bible, that verse actually starts out, and after that, he was accepted as one of them. One of them. Because relationships matter. Now, the story finishes like this, with, of course, more voices being heard, discerned, listened to, and acted upon. Verse 28 to 31. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they too tried to murder him. Wow. Verse 30, when the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea, and then they sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. Verse 31, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord, or in the awe of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. When we are listening to the right voice, which is God's voice, Jesus' voice, the Holy Spirit's voice, when we are listening to the right voice, acts out happens. You see it in verse 31. The church then had peace, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8 happened, from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. So many voices vying for our ear today. Which ones do we listen to? So many voices vying for the ears of the early church. Which one were they supposed to listen to? We need to listen to God's voice. Now, what does that sound like? That's like a 3-year sermon series. And at the end of those 3 years, it's like, ultimately, we don't know. It could be a very audible voice. It could be a time in your private devotional life where you just sense something. Maybe you're spending time reading scripture. It could be in visions. It could be with other people who are speaking because they are seeking the Lord. And some of those people may come from the church and some of them may not come from the church. It may be clear right away that it's the Lord's voice, or it may take a long time for you to figure out that it is. But it's when you are listening and hearing the Lord's voice, you're going to recognize that relationships matter and relationships do change things. So many voices today. So, last time, what are we supposed to do? Look who's talking, right? This week, if you remember, after a potluck and after the DVR Seahawks Vikings game, if you remember, I want you to look around at the voices. look and see where those voices are coming from. They're coming from all over the place. So first, pay attention to where those voices are coming from. And then second, listen for the voice of God in those voices. Now, if you're courageous enough to listen, like the story of Thorin, perhaps God will be telling you something you need to hear. And if you think he is telling somebody or someone, if you think he is telling you something you need to hear, call somebody, text somebody and say, hey, I think I'm hearing God say this to me. Will you walk with me as we together look at who's talking, just to make sure this is Jesus? Okay, so can you do that this week? Look and see where the voices are coming from and listen for the voice of the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, help us listen. I mean, really, it is like that. Help us listen to your voice. We don't want to be a people who is unaware. We don't want to be a people who hears your voice and ignores it. We want to be a people who listens and obeys. So help us in that. The prophet Isaiah said, you will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. I still think God speaks today in very tangible ways. And I think if we seek him and listen, that we'll be able to hear him saying, these are the next steps. Let's spend just a moment or two in quiet, letting all of this settle. And then we'll see where to go from there.